CJMQ 88.9 FM, and today we're talking with Willa Montague and Jackie Vanderson. And what we're going to be talking about today is BUCA BUCA, and that is Bishop's University Cat Association. That's what that stands for. So welcome, Willa and Jackie.
Thank you very much.
Good. Now, first question, how did BUCA BUCA start?
I guess being older, mm-hmm. I've been taking cats in and helping them and dogs.
Mm-hmm. So you've been taking cats and dogs in and helping them?
For most of my life. Okay. And I continued various parts of my life. I wasn't able to do it as much as now. But anyway, something that I had noticed, and other people too on Bishop's campus, is there's a lot of homeless cats on campus living under Dewhurst. And it was drawn to my attention by one particular cat that I found, and Dr. Pat Coyne, she's a classic professor, and I took her in and fixed her up, but she was extremely sick. She weighed 3 pounds, and I just found her wandering on campus.
Mm-hmm. Three
and
pounds?
She weighed 3 pounds, and I thought she was a kitten. She's a full-grown cat.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And very, very sick cat. And we helped her out, found her a good home,
mm-hmm.
and then another one. And then finally somebody told me, well, there's lots of cats. They all live under Dewhurst, which is
the dining hall.
Mm-hmm. And another professor, Dr. Linda Mora, came up to me and told me that students had expressed concern and that she loved cats. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that's sort of how we got together. We decided, well, maybe one person, one at a time, can't do a lot of good. But maybe if we got together mm-hmm. and got help with the students, because the students were really concerned, but they don't have resources.
That's right.
And they mm-hmm. don't have place for them to go and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So we decided to get together. And Jackie actually is one of Dr. Moore's students.
So. Okay, good. So Jackie, you got involved with the BUCA. So you got involved, and when did you get involved?
Just about a year ago when it first started up. I was told, even the semester before we started, that we were thinking of getting something like this going on, mm-hmm. and I said right away, well, I would be in on that.
Okay, because you're an animal lover or a cat lover?
Yeah, I'm a self-proclaimed crazy cat lady.
Okay. And you're a student at Bishop's?
Yep.
Okay. Do you find that a lot of the students like are taking in pets and maybe not looking ahead? And is that what's causing the problem, or...?
I don't think that that's the only cause of the problem, but I do mm-hmm. think that quite a few of the animals that are abandoned in the area
mm-hmm.
might be the result of that, but I don't think that it's only student-driven.
No,
but I do think that students tend to take in animals mm-hmm. because, well, they're cute and they like them now, but they don't realize that they don't have a way to bring them back home with them
mm-hmm.
over
mm-hmm.
the summer, or they don't have a place to put them during the summer, mm-hmm. so... there's not a lot of long-term thought put into it.
Okay, and they're lonely too, so they're looking for to
I
get
think
involved.
Exactly, they're finally, you know, on
yeah.
their own. And
yeah.
I mean, that's one aspect. I hate mm-hmm. to blame the students because it's mm-hmm. not just that. I think
no.
any transient mm-hmm. population has a tendency to abandon.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I brought a newspaper, Le Journal, that had mm-hmm. a big article about between March and July,
mm-hmm.
so many cats are abandoned because people are moving in July. And of course, this just happens because the students are moved too.
Okay.
And there's been issues there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're younger and they don't have the resources.
Right. And the cats tend not to be neutered or spayed too?
That can certainly, everyone that we've found has not been neutered or spayed.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. At one point, at least 2 years ago, Eddie Pomichela, I told him about a couple of cats that I had found, and he goes, oh, yeah, I saw like 20 cats under Dewhurst, like about 4 females and their kittens.
That's really sad because they're
terrible.
Going there because they're trying to get some extra food from the garbage, whatever
that's
thrown in the
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. And, of course, something that I would like to make sure people understand mm-hmm. that cats are not okay on their own. They suffer, and you think people think they're independent and they're more independent than dogs
mm-hmm.
but in fact if you see a homeless cat, that cat is destined for a very horrible death some sort, maybe in a couple of years. They usually, apparently the statistic is 2 to 4 years they live
mm-hmm.
on their
mm-hmm.
own
mm-hmm.
and they usually die of disease, being maimed, killed by a predator, coyote, a dog, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. maimed, and die alone under a bush somewhere. It's, if there's a homeless cat, even if he looks healthy, he's in trouble.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So you decided to form this association. And again, how long has this been going?
Just over a year.
Just over a
year.
Yeah,
just since last fall, really. Not even a year. But we did talk about it. Dr. Mora, and mm-hmm. she had been speaking to her students the year before, mm-hmm. and I had met mm-hmm. Dr. Mora, too. She's an English professor mm-hmm. at Bishop's. Mm-hmm. And we had spoken, and we were throwing around ideas. And then I think one of the students, I think it was probably Jackie, because we're all talkers at Bishop's, you know, mm-hmm. we don't mm-hmm. get things done sometimes. And mm-hmm. we'd been talking about how we care. And Jackie's like, there's kittens under Dewhurst now. We've got to do this, you know. Mm-hmm. So we went, yes. And we had our first meeting. And mm-hmm. our first agenda was there were four kittens and a mother under Dewhurst, and we had to capture them.
Right.
And mm-hmm. they were not tame.
Right, exactly. I was just going to bring that up. These pets aren't socialized because they've gone into like a little bit of a survival mode too. Right?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah. And we had to trap, in fact, it was Jackie and I. We had a meeting mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. talked about various aspects of the organization, such as fundraising and information. We're very, part of the reason we're so happy that you mm-hmm. allowed us to have the interview today is because we want people to understand and hear how difficult cats have it out there. Mm-hmm. And the first thing Jackie and I did was we bought a trap. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things that Buca bought, a humane trap. Mm-hmm. And we caught, and the first cat we caught was the mother.
Okay.
And which was, yes, I think a very mm-hmm. good thing, because we now look back and we think she had 6 kittens the spring before.
Okay.
So probably. She was a real breeder. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
I don't think people realize just how easily cats breed and how many times a year. It's not.
This is really important too. They were being fed. The students felt sorry for them
okay.
and fed them. Mm-hmm. And that's really good. But if you feed them, you have to follow through and mm-hmm. catch them, neuter, and spay. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just adding to the problem, because the female, instead of horribly dying, which mm-hmm. is not a good thing, but mm-hmm. on the other hand, she's just breeding more mm-hmm. that will die badly mm-hmm. later on. Mm-hmm. So
it's not an easy job to catch and tame them.
No, it's not.
If I could make it clear to people, for an extra incentive not to drop their animals just anywhere. Mm-hmm. When they have kittens, the kittens are feral, and then they're very difficult to tame, and it's
time-consuming.
It's a lot of time and effort that goes into it, and it isn't always successful either, which I think should also be
okay.
known.
Okay.
Well, Jackie was mm-hmm. the one. We caught the mom, mm-hmm. and actually, I thought the mom was feral, and we mm-hmm. were thinking, you know, we probably may have to have her euthanized because we didn't know how to deal with a feral cat, except maybe if somebody had a barn. And relocation of cats is very difficult too. They mm-hmm. don't relocate very well, so you can't mm-hmm. just put them somewhere else because they'll be frightened away and mm-hmm. it'll be worse. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was actually Jackie that said, I don't know, she looks pretty good. Well, I think maybe she's, you know, she might be, we've got to save her.
So she might come around.
She might come around. Mm-hmm. And so we said, okay, let's do it. Anyway, I ended up with that cat, and that cat is a fabulous cat. She is, obviously, she was not feral. She mm-hmm. had just gone wild because, mm-hmm. as you mm-hmm. said, I like the way you put that, in survival mode. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just wondering where their next meal is and if they can find a safe place.
Although she was overweight because yeah. she was being fed by the students. Mm-hmm. But okay. she still wasn't tame. Like, she mm-hmm. didn't want to go near people.
Okay.
And it took me about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And she was growling and hissing at me. I had her in a room with a couple of her kittens. At one mm-hmm. point, we caught them mm-hmm. too. And then she seemed to just turn, and now she's my best friend. I call her Velcro Kitty because mm-hmm. she's just with me all the time.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah. Jackie actually was the one who took in 3 of the 4 kittens to yeah. tame, so mm-hmm. she knows about that.
Okay, so that's a big job. You're taking in the kittens too, and
I think I had kittens in my spare room for probably 2 months. Not all of them mm-hmm. at the same time, mm-hmm. but as we would catch them, I would take them in and try to do what I could with them mm-hmm. and get them to be not terrified of people, mm-hmm. if not even mm-hmm. a little bit friendly towards people. And all of them were different in their own way, but they all came around eventually, and they all have good homes now, which is nice.
Okay, so let's educate people a little bit on what's the difference between a feral cat and how is it the personality?
Cat.
It's the stray cat, but
okay.
But their personalities, are they aggressive toward people? Or?
I think the best way to put it is there is absolutely no difference between mm-hmm. your sweet cat on your couch and mm-hmm. a feral cat mm-hmm. in the sense of the cat. mm-hmm. However, a feral cat thinks humans are predators
okay.
and they're going to kill him. So they're going to do to a human whatever they would do to a dog or a coyote or whatever if it threatened them. Mm-hmm. And a domestic cat, actually feral cats are just domestic cats turned mm-hmm. wild, mm-hmm. And our little pets that we have in our homes understand that we're kind and mm-hmm. we give them benefits that they mm-hmm. can't possibly mm-hmm. get anywhere else. So that's what surprised me. Like these little feral kittens, and they were feral because the mother, although she was obviously stray because an adult feral cat will not come over to a human in 2 weeks unless they've already been handled
okay.
at some time mm-hmm. in their past. Mm-hmm. But her kittens were feral. They'd never been handled by humans. And mm-hmm. we figured they were about 8 to 10 weeks when we finally caught
something
them.
Something like that, yeah.
And they were pretty good health because they'd been fed. Mm-hmm. They all had worms and that kind of mm-hmm. thing, but they mm-hmm. were pretty good. And they think of us as predators. I mean, like they're like squirrels. Hey, you walk in the room and they're gone. Like they're
okay.
just terrified of you. They don't attack. Mm-hmm. They don't attack. They're just afraid of you. They're absolutely terrified of you.
Okay, so basically they're just trying to get away from you
yeah.
and hiding.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
But any feral cat with enough time and effort put into it, like sometimes it will take a very long time and it's a very gradual process, but any cat can be
tamed.
Mm-hmm. It just sometimes takes a really long time.
The older they are, the longer it takes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they say with kittens that if you get them before the 10-week mark, that it's much easier to tame them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas after that point, they've sort of gone into a full survivor mode.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Okay, so how did you go about taming the kittens, Jackie?
I would start by just going... Well, you have to keep them in a room that's closed off from everything else mm-hmm. with very few objects in it, which at first I didn't do. It was a room that had a bunch of boxes and whatnot. It was my mm-hmm. spare room.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost a kitten once behind some boxes. I had to go dig around for him. And he wasn't pleased when I found him, especially since he was stuck in a box. I had to pull him out.
Okay.
And he wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. But I started off by just going in and sitting in the room until the kitten didn't perceive me as a threat anymore, and then I would kind of gradually go over and put my hand over so he could get used to it and gradually start sort of petting him, but softly, not, you know, too mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in his face. And then mm-hmm. some of them went really quickly and would let me pick them up, and they would just purr and give me little kisses. And then another one, he was with two of his brothers, and the other two were being very affectionate, and he was just very standoffish. Mm-hmm. And every time I would go over, he would hiss and run away and hide. And
mm-hmm.
I also bribed them a lot with treats.
Right, I was going to say that. When
it,
you pet
yeah,
them, then you
a
give
lot
them a
bribery.
Food reward. Good. Yeah, yeah, so it makes it a positive experience then. Yeah.
Precisely.
Okay, and you don't have to separate the kittens? You leave them together to tame them? Or
I actually found that it went faster with multiple kittens than with
okay
just one kitten mm-hmm. because if you have one kitten that warms up to you mm-hmm. and the others see
okay
that their mm-hmm. kitten friend likes mm-hmm. you as well, then they might be more inclined to not mm-hmm. be afraid of you.
Okay, so they're learning from the other
yeah.
kittens and stuff. How many people are involved in this?
We call it Yuka.
Yuka,
but
okay.
Pucka's good too.
Yuka. About how many people?
I would say that we have around 15 to 20 people who are on
supporters.
Our email mm-hmm. list, and they support our cause. But of the members who are there at every meeting, 6 or 7, maybe 8.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So there's definitely a certain group then taking charge of the...
Definitely,
okay.
Yeah.
So people, that you have an email and with news, I guess, and updating?
Yeah,
and
we give them updates, and we also have a website that has some information on it, but that still needs to be updated some more so that it's more
that's
current.
That's a content, yeah. Okay. She's actually done some updates.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
take it. So, if somebody wants to get involved, first of all, what is the website address?
BUCA.
Mm-hmm. B-U-C-A?
B-U-C-A.
It's the bishop's address, but with a / BUCA at the end, B-U-C-A.
Okay.
So, www.ubishops.ca? C-A. Is it C-A?
Yeah.
This is bad. And so / BUCA.
Okay. And if somebody wants to email?
Yeah, we do have our own email. It's BUCATS, B-U-C-A-T-S, @ubishops.ca.
Okay. Now, why cats? Is it because cats are cheaper to purchase from the pet store, maybe?
I think it's people have a poorer attitude towards cats, generally, that they are disposable.
Okay.
And I think abandoned cats are what causes this problem, and then it's just... It's all over the country. It's not just Lennoxville.
No, no.
It's all over North America.
I think also when people see a dog on the street, they just automatically assume, oh, that dog is lost. I should call this in and get the SPCA or the SPA or the pound or whatever to pick this dog up and bring it back to its owner. Whereas if they see a cat walking down the street, they just figure, oh, well, that's an outside cat, you know.
Okay.
He's just doing his thing. And I think that's the difference. Or you have a much larger... quantity of stray cats than stray dogs. So if you see a stray dog, then it's more...
Stands out more.
Okay, interesting.
And cats, it's the way they breed, I think. And I think actually in warmer climates, dogs are just as much of a problem because people don't spay and neuter them as well. In the southern states, there are feral dogs around.
Right.
And our climate, I think we just value our dogs more than cats, and I think they're looked after better to a certain extent. And cats breed, of course, they have 2 litters at least a year, and you know, people just
really sad. Okay, really sad because they are living creatures.
Exactly, yeah.
And our climate isn't conducive to keeping cats alive during the winter. It's just not. It doesn't work out very well for them. It's too cold.
Well, we've found cats with frozen ears off. We've found cats with frozen tails. We've found cats with porcupine quills all over, everywhere, including in their eyes. We've found cats emaciated, completely emaciated, unable to move. We've found cats with pneumonia, like their eyes are crusted shut and they can barely breathe. That was the first little kitten that we found. There's feline leukemia, where they die slowly, I think. I'm not completely sure of that, the symptoms of that. But then there's also feline AIDS, which is prevalent in this area. Cats are being undervalued.
Definitely. Yeah, again, they are, you know, creatures there.
They have, they feel.
Exactly, yeah.
The pain and everything, just the way that we do. They're not the same as us, but they feel that.
Physically and emotionally, okay. So that's a sad thing, but it's a wonderful thing what you people are doing, too. And, you know, hopefully it catches on. So definitely cats that are let outside. There's lots of diseases out there and predators and cars and all kinds of things. So I've always thought that the best place for the cat is inside the house, so.
Definitely, they're safer. I mean, cars are probably one of the big killers of cats, and they're not safe in a city, for sure.
No, they're not. No, that's for sure. Okay. So you've learned a lot. Some things good and some things not so good when, you know, you must be very difficult, too, when you see different situations like this of the cats in really bad shape.
Well, one thing that I've noticed since joining BUCA is that I see cats everywhere now, stray cats, abandoned cats. I just, it was something that I didn't notice or I wasn't as aware of before, so I didn't pick up on it. But now that I'm sort of in this group, I see them everywhere, and it's overwhelming sometimes.
It is, yeah. That's a difficult part of the situation, too, and of your job, yeah. Okay. So you are finding good homes for some of them?
We've been very, of course, I should emphasize, too, what we're doing is a drop in an ocean.
It is. I realize that. Yeah,
it's like, you know, I think we've helped 9 cats in the last, since there was the mother and the 4 kittens and a couple of kittens in another warehouse on the campus. And then there's been some that have been found in town. Students have found in town, or a professor found one in town in bad shape.
So you found homes for some of them. You said about 9 of them?
We did. Mm-hmm. And of course, SPA has helped us. She helped us with Mum, too. We took her right there. They were really kind because it was like 7:30 in the morning. And
they weren't even open yet. And we sort of glued our faces to the glass. We're like, let us in, please.
Please help us with this poor cat. And they did. And they helped. And they said, oh, no. You know, they also helped us with assessment of her behavior. And they said, no, she's not feral. You know, she is going to be okay. And it took her a while, but she did come around.
So they've been helpful in getting the cats that we've caught on campus ready to be adopted out, and then we have a very rigorous
interview.
That's good, though.
Just to make sure that the people who are getting these cats are aware that they may not have been fully socialized, even if they were just...
Well, that was the kittens.
Well, no, but even with the cats that were... just strays, like they might not trust people the same way as they used to. So just getting people who are aware of what they're getting themselves into and just trying to find good permanent homes for them.
Okay, so that's good. And are they spayed or neutered
before
they go out? That's good.
No, we spay, neuter, and vaccinate the same as CSPA. Okay. And that's what we fundraise for.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah. You're working with the SPA de l'Estrie, and they've been
A few of the cats they've been very helpful with. Okay. When we're worried that they're feral, we do take them there because we don't have a quarantine. We don't have a space really to deal with a feral cat because a feral cat is going to be very aggressive if we try to handle them. So we ask for their help with those, but we have had a couple that have been obviously just abandoned strays. A stray cat being just a cat that used to live in a house and now is outside because somebody's moved or something, and they want people.
Exactly.
And so we've had a couple of those which we haven't we haven't asked the SPA to help us with. We have a discount that we get through Dr. Savard, which is at the Gold East, and he gives us a little bit of a discount on the neutery, spaying, and first vaccinations.
Okay, so people that want to adopt a cat from you, just email you or go to your website, and definitely they'll have to go through an interview just like they would any no-kill shelter such as the Frontier Animal Society or the different shelters. And what's the cost for adopting an animal? I would imagine you charge something cost. You don't? Okay.
We don't. At the moment, we do not. And I'll tell you why. Because we're very choosy about who gets the cats.
Okay.
And the other thing is we feel that you are helping us by giving this cat a permanent home.
Okay.
And the cat, and I can't emphasize how choosy we are because these cats have already been betrayed.
They've been traumatized, and, definitely.
You know, we want to make sure that whoever takes them, and we've had excellent placements. We've been very fortunate. That is going to run out, I think. And so I don't know where we're going to go from there. But at the moment, this is, we've basically gone to word of mouth.
Okay. And are you...
Because we're so small.
Accepting donations, too, if somebody wants to give a donation? Or?
Yes.
Yes, people. Please.
Exactly. People have been so generous in the...
That's great.
Bishop's community. We put out sort of what we were doing. And, you know, people were just giving, say, I'll sponsor that cat. I'll pay for that cat to be fixed, or I'll pay for this, or I'll pay for a new... you know, humane trap. They were very, very generous, and we want to thank them so much. And they, because everybody, I think, has kind of worried about these cats, but nobody did anything.
Right.
And then finally we're doing something.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Good. So definitely learned a lot. And definitely the cats must be coming. They're obviously not coming from the SPA because they spay and neuter their pets. Mm-hmm. And the Frontier Animal Society, I know, does. And the other refuge in somewhere here in the townships. That
oh,
just
Quatre Pattes? Dion?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she would too.
Yeah. And I think there's another one too. They were recently at Blue Seal Foods.
I think that is Quatre Pattes.
I don't think so. It's
Des
Bois,
sorry.
Something or other, I guess.
Well, she lives in Notre-Dame du Bois.
Okay, that could be. Okay. Yeah. So those are spayed and neutered. So the only place I'm thinking of is pet shops.
True enough. And people with barns and people who get a cat maybe and then never get it spayed and neutered and have kittens and give them away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So I still think the majority is probably coming from pet stores because I know you can purchase a cat for $9.99 or $14.99,
right,
which is next to nothing, whereas dogs in the pet store go for at least $150. So,
I mean, that's another...
Yeah, again, it brings us back to pet stores. And,
right.
You know, when we need things for our pets, I think we're better off going to places that sell the products and the food, but not the actual live animals.
I agree completely.
Okay. I think that just the fact that they're so inexpensive to purchase at a pet store sort of brings us back to how their cats are less valued than dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Because a dog is you've put more money into your dog, so you're less likely to just dump it on the street when you don't have a place to put it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay.
Although I must admit, it's surprising that people will also pay a lot for an animal and still dump it. So
exactly.
I think that, you know, it's true, but I'm just always amazed by...
Mm-hmm. Because you do see purebred cats at the SPA too.
You
know, that people have just given up after a year or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think people also don't realize that when they get an animal, it's not... It's a... at least 15-year commitment that they're getting themselves into, and I think a lot of the time they don't realize that. And so when they've had enough, the cat hasn't, but they have, and they just bring it away or dump it.
Definitely everybody should look at their pets as being part of the family and
absolutely
realize that commitment, you know?
Absolutely.
Good. Okay.
So it's for their natural life.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get one if you don't
want
to do that.
Exactly. So that's why I always say if somebody's seriously, you know, wanting to get a pet, to get one from a shelter or, you know, from you, if you're looking for a cat, if you're seriously looking for a cat, make sure nobody in the family has allergies because, you know, do you have a trial period too if it doesn't
work? We will take the cat back at any time.
Okay.
I will. I live in this area. I know the students, of course, are going to graduate and hopefully we'll keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But, if something happens, we want the cat back. That's one thing we make them promise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we'll find foster homes or we'll do something to make sure. Because if we trap these cats and take them off the street, we are saving their lives and we feel responsible for them.
Exactly. Are you looking for also people for foster homes?
We do. We have... Our students are wonderful.
That's great.
People for fostering. Actually, Jackie's a good example, but we have others too that, I mean, it's the perfect situation because they often have an apartment, they want a cat, but they can't deal with it in the summer or over Christmas, so they can take it for 3 months, give it attention, give it socializing, care for it. It's good for them, they enjoy it, and during that time we can try to find it a permanent home.
That's good too. So if a student is out there or somebody that is going away and they would love to have an animal, they're lonely and, you know, feel that need, they can look into Buca too and foster that animal without having to take on that long-term commitment too. That's great. Good. Anything else you wanted to say about Buca?
Well, I've really enjoyed my year and it's been stressful at times. It's hard work. But it's also, it's amazing. I get so much pleasure from seeing a cat. I mean, I just say, you know, it's it's for me that I do it, because the latest cat is actually kind of a sad story. And he was living under Dewhurst for, since last October, people had spotted this fellow, but we were so busy with the four kittens and the mother and the other two kittens in the warehouse that we kept feeding him, but then we finally trapped him. And I thought, oh, he's feral. He was so terrified and so, like, did not want to be anywhere near a human. And in the trap, I covered him up. He was very aggressive in the trap, and I covered it up with a towel. And I left him alone for about an hour, and then I peeked under, and he just looked at me and meowed, the most pitiful meow. And I just said, he's not feral. He's just terrified, and he's been on his own a long time. So we had him neutered and looked after him, found him a really good home. In fact, local people will know Fern Murray, who lives near the Provico. And Fern was excited to have him. He was clearly very timid, but within 3 days, I had him up on my lap, just so happy to have a human friend again. It was heartwarming.
It was.
And but still very timid of people he didn't know. And Fern was keen for the challenge. I said, I know if he's friendly with me, he'll be friendly with you. And, it's, you know, and she said, I like cats like that. So, and it turned out we had him tested and he had AIDS. And he had to be euthanized. So that was very difficult.
It was difficult. Lots of diseases cats get. It's amazing. So. Again, you know, it's important that they be looked after, and I still think the best place for the cat is inside the house, and they're very satisfied with that, because that's a big area to a cat. That's great. Well, I want to thank you very much, and certainly if somebody is interested in getting a cat, you know, you can
we
think
do
about
have one for
fostering
right now, just one. We're very small. We do have a little female that somebody left in Tim Horton's parking lot. She's now fixed. And one of our people, Mary Lou Smith, who's been a fabulous supporter and a hard worker, is fostering her right now. And but she already has two. And I already have two. And Jackie already has one. So part of the problem is that people who love cats already have cats. And we can't take any more, but...
Okay, and what does she look like? Just tell us.
She's adorable. She's one of these cats that's mostly white with some black, and she has a black in the shape of a teardrop over her nose and huge yellow eyes. And she looks like a little clown or a little Pierrot or something. She's absolutely adorable and loves people. So she's been somebody's cat, and we wonder, you know, if somebody leaving in the spring didn't just kind of chew her out, because she, Mary Lou Smith actually found her dodging cars in Tim Horton's parking lot. And she's only about 6 months or five or 6 months. She's young.
Okay, so if anybody's out there, seriously, again, getting, wanting to get a cat, they should definitely get in touch with you by email. And
That'd be awesome.
That's great. Okay, well, thank you very much. And it's wonderful to have Buca, definitely. And I know every time you look at your cat that you saved, connected with Buca, you just, you know, have that warm feeling. And that,
well, and Jackie's mom adopted one of the kittens.
That's so great.
She's got a... This is it, eh? The supporters have taken in a lot of the cats.
That's
like
good.
It is good, but we're going to get to our limit.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And it's fun
to... So please spay and neuter your cat.
Exactly.
Please.
Spay and neuter your cat.
And don't abandon them.
You know, if you're looking to get a cat, get in touch with Buca, or definitely
SPA,
Frontier Animal Society.
I'm not sure but Montorige is very good.
Right.
Any of the shelters.
Good, because they are spayed and neutered, have their shots, they've been tested, and you're
they
not
They can tell you
to,
something about the cat, too, which is handy. A pet shop doesn't know anything about, you know, their kitten.
Exactly.
But we know, you know, like Jackie... knew exactly when we found it was actually a woman that people may know too, Jill Fletcher, took in two of the kittens that Jackie had tamed. And certainly once they moved to Jill Fletcher's home, she had to continue the taming process because the move upset them and kind of they regressed a little bit. But now Jill and Tony tell us that they are the most loving, sweet cats. She could not be happier. So that's that wonderful. Is our best story.
Lots of good stories. Well, thank you very much, Willa and Jackie. And, you know, hopefully more people will get involved and definitely find an end to this terrible problem as it is all over North America.
Exactly. If everybody just spayed and neutered their cat and never, and you know, found a place for it to go, if they couldn't. I mean, it does happen that sometimes you take on with all good intentions and something happens and you can't keep the animal. Mm-hmm. But don't just shut it outside and think it'll be okay. It won't be okay.
No.
So
no.
You should take it to the SPA.
Definitely.
Or you should find a permanent home for it. Mm-hmm. Don't just leave it out there because they suffer terribly.
Okay, well, thanks very much. It's such a good message, and it's so true. Okay, well, thank you both for coming and educating us about Puka. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.